Chapter 2. Rogue Trader. Matthew laid aside his pen. He had kept matters concise. He had not told too much of his own efforts on Espandor or the worlds close by. He did not write of the prayers he had shouted that had unravelled demons. He did not speak of the miraculous shot taken from 50 meters that had drilled out a plague-bearer's soul eye and saved a Sister of Silence from death, nor of the benedictions and comforts he had given to the dying. He did not speak of walking into the poison fogs of the Death Guard, or bearing the toxins of their weapons without sickness. In any other circumstances, his own actions would have been noteworthy. In comparison to the deeds of the Primarch, they were nothing. He was glad to live in such heroic times. "Perhaps I have not been too vain," he said, though he did not believe it completely. He was late. He had spent too long indulging himself. He had duties to perform. Hurriedly, he sanded his final words with Pounce, let the ink dry, and closed his book. Sirens warbled all over the ship, signalling 5 minutes until watch change for the thousands of mortal crew. He left the book where it was. Nobody ever came down there, and he had nothing to hide by anyone reading it. Did he, in fact, want someone to read it? He dithered, thinking perhaps he should hide it. Was it prideful to leave the book out to be found? Was it yet more vanity to suppose it so important it must be hidden? He tapped the cover thoughtfully, and let it be. He would atone for his pride with prayer and mortification. Next time he came to the Mortuis ad Monumentum, he would light 100 more candles to display his piety. Decision made, he was about to go, when a small noise made him turn around. The midnight face of Yasili Soleimania leaned out of the dark of an empty alcove. "How long have you been sitting there?" he asked. He was furious. He felt naked, violated to be so observed without consent. Soleimania was of the worst sort of person, a mortal human who did not believe in the Emperor's divinity, a heretic, and so he did not hide his scorn. "I got here 10 minutes before you did," she said. In contrast to Matthew's anger, she was all soft words and smiles. She climbed down from the alcove and stretched out her back, then leant against the empty plinth. All was done with an unfussy nimbleness. Soleimania had an economic way of movement. She was tall and sparely muscled, so much that her head seemed slightly too large for her body and her neck too long, but her gracefulness made these features assets. She was a switch of a thing. A young tree, bending, enjoying the wind. Now she had revealed herself, Soleimania activated her electus. The design flickering over her face included blocks of text proclaiming her as a scion of the Soleimanian Rogue Trader House, but her uniform was that of Logos Historica Verita, Gilliman's Carder of Snoops. Supposedly historitors, their attention strayed to matters that Matthew regarded as being a long way beyond the remit of simple history. "What are you doing down here?" he said. "This is my sanctum. This is an invasion of my privacy." "This is the Lord Gilliman's ship, not yours," she replied. "You have quarters in the command spire. Why come down here? I understand you have a writing station in your chambers." "So you've been poking around my business there too?" "Poking around?" she laughed. House Soleimanian's planetary holdings were on a hot world bathed often in the effusions of its parent star. The ever-flexible human genome called upon the heritage of equatorial Terrans from ages past to protect itself. Consequently, Soleimania's skin was a velvety black, so dark it appeared blue in gentler lighting. Her thick hair, currently tamed into a complex braid at the side of her head, stood up around her head like a dark matter star when unbound. Soleimania was a very beautiful woman. Matthew was a holy man, and his concerns had progressed beyond the needs of the flesh. Still, he noticed her physical attributes, and he thought she knew he did. When clarity was upon him, he wondered if the attraction he felt to her were not the source of his antipathy. "I read your book, Matthew," she said. "I am a historitor. I'm interested in what you're writing. I have to say that it's a little over the top for my tastes. I prefer history to histrionics." She laughed at her own joke, her smile a perfect crescent moon in the dim chamber. I am telling the truth of the matter. Someone must make a proper religious history of this war, or how are the faithful to be illuminated? He said, tetchily. Around Soleimania's wrist was a small creature, 8 limbs clamped around her arm. There were no identifiable features beyond the limbs and soft grey fur that contrasted with the deep blue of her uniform. If it had a head, Matthew could not tell at which end it was. Both tapered into identical prehensile cones that occasionally lifted up to twitch at the air. "Religion isn't the truth, Matthew. It's the biggest lie there is. Your work will go down very well in Skolems, but it has no complexity, and that's among a lot of things it lacks," she added. She tickled the creature affectionately. It purred and wriggled. "My pet here knows absolutely nothing about the Emperor or the dark gods, and worships neither, but he is at the mercy of them all. Faith is meaningless in his world. Is that fair?" "Fairness does not come into it. Just because he knows no better doesn't mean that faith should not be part of your life," said Matthew. He got up from his chair to face Soleimania, resting against the edge of his desk, but he found it hard to look her in the eye. She had a lively face, and her eyes sparkled with intelligence that teased and tested him. "You are sentient. It is not. You can apprehend the majesty of the divine. I can understand that the universe is troubled by beings of stupendous power. It doesn't make any of them gods. You deny the Emperor's power as well as his divinity." "I never said that, did I?" she said. She held up her wrist, transferring the creature to her shoulder, where it nestled into her epaulette. "In fact, if you think really carefully about what I did say, I said exactly the opposite. Power is easy to judge. My order delves into secrets beyond the history of our species. The older races understood what you call the divine far better than we ever have. There have been powerful beings before. I don't think they were really gods either." "The Aldari have so-called gods," said Matthew. "You know, I speak a couple of Aldari dialects," she said, "as well as any human can. Their word for God is not the same as our word for God. It means God, but it also means about a dozen other things besides. You can't call their gods so-called and yours real, then cite their mysticism as support for your case. You're having it both ways." "I am not. The Emperor is the one true God. That was my point," she said. "The divine infuses us all as the highest pinnacle of evolution. Even the Space Marines have a sense of the holy, though they deny it. This hall is enormous, though for much of the last 10,000 years, I'm sure there were never enough Ultramarines aboard this vessel to fill it. There have been, recently. This fleet was stuffed to bursting with warriors when I came aboard, and yet they never did anything with this space. It hasn't been properly repaired. Why do you think that is?" "I expect you will tell me," she said. "Reverence, piety, remembrance of the dead. They have their cults. We are all holy, and the Emperor is the holiest of us all." Soleimania ran a long finger down the heavy brow of a transhuman skull embedded in the wall. "If he is a god, he's surrounded by a lot of other things with similar attributes. Just because something exhibits all the characteristics of a divine being does not mean it is a god, nor that it should be worshipped as such. If that were true, we'd all be bending the knee to the ruinous powers." "Blasphemy!" spat Matthew. "You are a heretic, unworthy." "By your terms, I am. By mine, you're insane. Good luck finding anyone who'll burn me as a heretic on this ship, priest," she said. "I don't deny that the Emperor is powerful, nor that he watches over us, but it's all simply a manifestation of extra-material physics. The psychic realm can be understood as a science. It doesn't need your obtuse mumblings. Not that science is well-favoured in this age," she added mildly. "Faith is more powerful than rationality. Tens of thousands of years of human stupidity tells us that is so. It doesn't mean faith is right," she said. "You should listen to the Primarch sometime. He has taught me so much. You will be happy to hear I was going to be executed for what I believe. Even my own family couldn't stop it from happening. Gilliman did, and he saved me for the reasons people like you would condemn me. Don't you think that's a little ironic? Has he sent you to spy on me? Suleimania's eyes widened in mock surprise. Now, why would he do a thing like that? Plenty of reasons, thought Matthew. Then you come here to bait and tempt me because you feel you are free to do so. You don't understand, Suleimania. I wouldn't burn you. I would try to save you. You'd probably do that by burning me, she said. What am I supposed to be tempting you with? She gave him a look that made him feel deeply uncomfortable. He fought away a blush. Abandoning my faith for reason, he said, though that was not the principal temptation. He could still not meet her eyes. You must hate me. You want to see me destroyed. She laughed at him. His bashfulness soured to anger, which melted back to embarrassment again when she came up to him and laid a delicate hand on his shoulder. The roughness of his robe's material came to sensuous life under her touch.
I like you, Matthew. I want to understand you, truly. You are a good man, but your efforts are misdirected.
Have you finished? He said brusquely. The watch change sounded minutes ago, and I will be late for my ministrations. Those coming off shift will be exhausted and eager for the benedictions of the Emperor before their sleep cycle. More conflicts await us. But I place attending to the spiritual needs of the menials aboard this ship far above the glory of battle. There is a larger war to be won than that which the Primarch fights, one waged in the hearts of every man, woman, and child. You forget this vessel was held by the enemy for some time. Their taint may linger. We must be vigilant. In this theatre of war, I am the general, the soldier, the armour, and the void ships. I must not shirk my duties.
Watching the Primarch's spiritual back, said Suleimania.
That's a high opinion you have of yourself.
That's why he employed me.
Is it? Ask the Imperial Regent if you think my efforts worthless. He remained calm in the face of her impudence.
I never said they were, she said. I'm sure he doesn't think so either. They're only misdirected, she repeated.
The klaxon blared again, three short blasts signifying the turning of the watch. A subtle vibration spread through the ship as tens of thousands of men and women left a day of pitiless work for four brief hours of rest, and others took their places.
I have to go, he said. V, activate.
He moved away from Suleimania and busied himself gathering his effects. The dormant servo skull bleeped and jerked to life. With a whir of powering repulses, it lifted unsteadily into the air.
I always thought it was morbid, having the skulls of your mentors following you around like that, she said, her eyes following the skull.
This was too much for Matthew, and he struggled with his temper.
There is nothing wrong with it. It honours the servants of the Emperor. It honours all she gave up for me.
Suleimania tilted her head in interest.
She?
Matthew had given too much of himself away. He turned his back on the Historiter and departed, V buzzing along behind him. Suleimania watched the militant apostolic until he vanished into the dark.
She
said, drumming her fingers against the wall. She had probed a nerve there, though not any she had intended to touch. She sat in thought a moment, then stood up suddenly. She touched a brass pip at her shoulder, activating the vox bead within. A channel opened to Logos headquarters, 100 decks above her.
Please inform Lord Gilliman that I wish to speak with him soon. I will be departing after we break warp.
Without waiting for a reply, she shut off the link. Matthew had not extinguished his candles, and they wafted slightly in the wake of her departure, turning the Dua skulls cemented into the walls into brief, jerky facsimiles of life.